Here we are in Chiang Mai at the Sri Chaitanyasarasvati Mot Ashram. And apologies for anyone who's there watching, expecting Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj. He's left unexpectedly, and so you're left with Kali Gidamba Hanana Devidasi from Australia and myself here. So this is our first time being here, being filmed and being online, so we're not really sure what to expect. But apparently there's some questions people may have.
We will improvise, not prepared questions, but okay. Anyway, we are glad to see you here. And you recently returned from Parikrama, from India.
Yes.
It is known. So, your impressions from the very last Parikrama, what was very special about that?
Well, this year in particular was very special for me because Paramananda Prabhu and Amiya Sindhu Prabhu organized a tour to Nathadwar, which I'd never really sort of had much thought about before. And so that's an amazing place where Sri Nathji has been removed from Govardhan and taken many, many days or years walk away, as the story is, that Sri Nathji was taken by 30 families for almost three years, yeah?
32 months.
And then at some point the cart got stuck, and so they accepted, okay, this is where Sri Nathji wants to be. And so there they created this big house, not a temple, a house, and they're all living in the house, and there's so many different rooms in the house, and each room's one's for garland, one's for making pan, one's for the milking of the cows, one's for making this sort of preparation, and they're like, it's like one big family. And it was remarkable and glorious to see, and the enthusiasm with which all of the local residents were racing to the temple in the morning to see Sri Nathji. And it was quite an amazing experience, because a lot of India has become so busy and kind of get lost in all the rickshaws and the smoke and the buses. But this was a really sweet, beautiful village, still felt like a nice village. So that was we went directly there. When we flew into India, we went straight to Nathadwar. So it was a beautiful start to the Parikrama. And from there, we went to Jaipur and saw Sri Govindaji in Jaipur. And on to Vrindavan and Vrindavan Parikrama with Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj. Of course, in their association.
Nyasi
Maharaj was there also, yes. He wasn't able to be so active with the Parikramas. Health was not so great, but he was there. And Mahavir Maharaj also there, entertaining everyone very nicely. Paramananda Prabhu, of course, was there, taking care of everything. Keshavananda also, yeah. Keshavananda was taking care of Paramananda. So anyway, that's my feelings of the experience. So do you want to say something?
The thing that was special for me was to see all the devotees. Was coming from Australia, we have a beautiful community, but it's a little quiet, and so we're always missing the devotees. And previously, we used to always go to Navadweep, and everybody would come. And it was a huge festival, and it was like a great big family reunion every year. And so, yeah, it's something that we really miss. I really miss a lot. And so we were really very happy to be able to come and join the Parikram. And the thing that was even sweeter was that Amiya Sindhupur knows some of the local devotees, and so he, because of their affection, he actually was able to take us into the heart of the temple and the home of one of the devotees. And so we actually got to feel more closely the mood of the town and the devotees and their devotional mood, and it was unbelievably sweet, really, really sweet. And actually, it was a little, Krishna Kanta Didi from Italy and I were talking, and really just our hearts melting. And it felt like, not the same, but when we used to be with Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj in Navadvip, it was an unbelievably happy time, especially in festival times. And when all the devotees would be there, it would feel like we would be swimming in an ocean of nectar, his ocean of nectar. And everybody was so floating, really floating. And it was a little bit of a feeling like that for me, maybe because I was just super happy to be with the devotees again, or maybe it was the village, the mercy of Srinathji, I'm not sure, but it was, very, very, very sweet. And from there we went to Jaipur, then on to, we did the Navadvip Park, Vrindavan Parikram, and also Govardhan. And for me it was a little difficult because I was sick, so... it was very, very nourishing. Very nourishing.
Thank you. Taking tour back in time, when you both first joined the Hare Krishna movement, what is the story behind that?
The long or the short? So I, when I was 13, I started kind of searching what's going on, what's the purpose of life, all those sorts of things. And we had a Hare Krishna, an ISKCON temple nearby our house. So I started going there and I really liked it. I liked the devotees, I liked the chanting, the smell of the incense, it was beautiful. And I would come and go over the years, but I didn't actually feel so much like it was my place. And I kept searching and I was going to, psychic mediums, reading all kinds of books, doing all kinds of meditation and yoga. And to kind of cut a long story short, I went to like a Vedic university in America for a while and was practicing meditation, and I was having really, you could say nice experiences, but I felt like it was like exponentially expanding and I wasn't actually feeling that I could offer my gratitude to how I was feeling. I wanted to be able to put my head down in the center of the earth and somehow give thanks or at some form, but I didn't have a way to do that. And so I started really feeling a growing need to find that, but I didn't know how to find it. And then I came back to Australia and I reconnected with an old friend who had recently met Srila Gurudev and the devotees, and he'd received initiation. So he gave me sermons of the Guardian of Devotion, and that was it. So I quit my job, went to India, met Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, and luckily he accepted me. Yep. Here I am.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I sort of started a bit later in my search. I wasn't actually searching, really. I was in some awkward situation with some old friends and they weren't being particularly sort of friendly to me, and I got caught in this sort of... It was like this psychic tug-of-war or something, you know. And at some point, I just went outside and I looked up at the stars and I said, you know, what the hell is going on? And it was the first time in my life, really, that I had some sincere thought, or it still wasn't even a thought. It's not like I was thinking about spirituality or God or the universe or anything really, but I just had some plea. And then maybe within a few days, maybe a week, I was in a shop And this person who owned the shop, his name was Radhamadava. But he never told me his name was Radhamadava. He said, my name's Reg. And so I'd made this friendship over him for a little while, and we'd talk, and you know, I'd go in there and we'd exchange things and generally just hang out. And then, and so this one day, a few days after this plea, then these few devotees came in. Well, I didn't know they were devotees. I didn't know anything about Hare Krishnas or anything. And, you know, one of them, you might know Karuna Moy, you know, like he's covered in tattoos, tilak tattooed all over his body, and he's got some sort of weird haircut or something. And the other ones were just Braja Mohan. He's like very mature devotee, and he's like old Grateful Dead guy, been around forever. And Murari Mohan, sort of a younger, really fit sort of happening guy, and he's like, oh, and Karuna Moy was just like in my face, just like for an hour. I must have been in the shop, just like right up close in my face. And I had no idea what he was talking about, but it was pretty cool, you know. I was like, oh, wow, this guy's like out of it. And then Murari Mohan said, oh, it's my wife's birthday, come up, we're having a party. Okay, cool. So, party, whatever. Went to their house, and it was a big party of all the devotees. It was someone's birthday, or his wife's birthday. Still, I had no idea, no one's wearing dhoti or kurta or anything. So I'm there, yeah, big vegetarian feast comes out, okay, yeah, cool, whatever, still oblivious. But then actually there was this, at some point I found myself in the sort of corner at the party and next to this old man with a hood on, you know. And he sort of looked at me and said something about Krishna. Krishna? He said, you don't know about Krishna? What are you talking about? He goes, come to my house tomorrow, I'll tell you some things. So, okay, cool. So I stayed there the night and went to his house the next morning and then sat there for hours while he just, all this Harikata just starts coming out. I'm just transfixed, just like, wow. And it was very very succinct and very clear and very, very sweet. And he was an old ISKCON devotee. He wasn't really so deeply affiliated with them anymore, but he was really, really pukka sweet, and he's a beautiful, beautiful devotee, and we still keep connection with him now. He lives close to our temple in Australia, and yeah, he's very sweet. So in any case, from that point on, I was just like, well, had my head sort of knocked off, and I completely embraced the ideology, the philosophy, and maybe within a week I'd moved into the temple in Australia, lived there for maybe 6 months, and my time there was incredible because the devotees just give everything. And this is something that was in 2000. And more and more, as the years go on, I slowly, and more foolishly, slowly realizing how important the association of the devotees is. And, you know, obviously, yeah, you need their association to get in the door, you know, but it's the door just keeps getting moved further and further away the more you're involved, it seems. And the only way that you get there, because the devotees are actually carrying you along. There's nothing we can do from our own efforts, really, without the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And so this is something that I'm continually trying to understand the depth of how great is the Vaishnava.
Thank you. Prabhu, you're known as a great kirtani and especially mridanga player. So, how long did it take to approach mridanga before you started practicing and playing?
I mean, because I was in Australia, of course, everyone knows Sadupriya, then he's the master mridanga player. Then, and I'm you know, used to playing music in bands, so I had some ability to hit things. And so then, it was just a natural thing for me to go, okay, it's a drum, I'll learn how to play it. But, you know, actually, I find it's challenging to, because, you know, what is Kirtan? I'm not a Kirtanier, you know. I just trying to play a beat that is, you know, in harmony with the environment, because that's what we're all trying to do, right? With our voices and with our hearts and playing the kartels and playing the madanga. It's all, we're trying to be one harmonious organism offering ourselves to the Lord. So however we can try to participate in that mood, then it's, I can't say anything. I mean, really, I don't know much about madangas. I'm just watching other people playing madanga and then I'm learning something. Even then, you know, there's some young girls here, they know more than I do. I'm learning from them. They think they're learning from me, but I'm learning from them. Many devotees, young devotees, have taught me many things about madanga playing.
What is the most challenging for you in playing madanga?
And playing is just playing it.
Playing.
You know? How can we understand this madanga is the personification of Nityananda? Not as well, yeah. Non-different from Nityananda, from Balaram. You want to put your hands on that? Carry it around, you know, like, whoa. Luckily, Nityananda is merciful and we'll even let fools pick him up and play with him.
So from here, another question comes. What kirtan means for you, for both of you?
Yeah, maybe you like it.
Well, the only thing I know of kirtan is what we've been shown from Srila Gurudev. And I'm not actually really participating. Somehow I'm allowed to be in the environment and there's some worship going on, and for me I'm trying to in my heart actually sing and try and offer myself to the Lord, but I'm not actually really participating. So it's by, yeah, Gurudev's mercy that I'm here, and maybe someday maybe I'll be somewhere near the kirtan, I don't know, but by now I'm just trying to do my best. But kirtan, I don't know.
But you had experience serving Gurudev in person in Navadvip. Do you remember? I mean, of course you remember, but what are the most memorable moments from that time?
I was actually not so much serving him directly, but by the grace of Srila Madhusudan Maharaj, who was Sripad Mahanandapuru at the time, he actually gave me some service under him. So, and I don't know why, but somehow he let me be around in his office, and so I would do things for him. And of course, everything that he's doing, I mean, he doesn't exist for himself. Everything is just for Srila Gurudev. So actually, it was through his association and seeing all day, every day, really, that he didn't exist for himself, and he was just thinking and waiting for any little sign from Srila Gurudev, something that he'd want, or what would he be thinking right now, what would he need, how would he react in this moment, that I actually could have even a tiny bit of appreciation for what it means to actually be a servitor of Srila Gurudev. And so sometimes there were things that, because of Madhusudan Maharaj, I would had some service that then we had to go and see Srila Gurudev about different things, and You know, actually he said to me one time, he said, actually, I mean, you know, he said different things at different times, but when I first started staying there for longer, because Madhusudana Maharaj had, he was encouraging me to stay. And at that time, there was not so many. Bhakti Lalita, he was there long term, and but only sometimes the devotees were staying for long periods and then going, and so it was still, you couldn't just go there and just sort of stay. And anyway, one time, so Madhusudana Maharaj took me to see Srila Gurudev, and he was asking, you know, like, I wanted to stay, and then Gurudev said, I don't actually know you very well, but Madhusudana Maharaj is giving some certificates, so okay. And then he kind of gave his blessings, and yeah, so yeah, I have so many sweet memories of Gurudev, and now I wish so much that I could go back to those days and actually be more awake, more alert, more attentive, offer myself more, be more conscious of the devotees that were around him, and utilize my time better. Yeah, we had... And also now I understand we had such a... It was a rare, rare opportunity, because at the time, I think... I mean, we knew it was special that we had the opportunity to come and see Gurudev, but none of us ever imagined what it would be like when we didn't have that. So we didn't really imagine that there would be devotees later on that wouldn't get the chance to meet him. And now it's, yeah, it's hard to, it's hard to know how to actually extend that to devotees, how to actually give them, because I feel like I got so much from Gurudev, but I have no capacity, no ability to actually give it out. So I'm kind of almost like this dummy that spent all this time with him, but actually it's hard to extend that to others. yeah. But anyway, you were saying some good memories. There were millions, but one that I'm reminded of when I see the Chinese devotees is, you remember this day. Some of the girls came and they brought little panda earmuffs. And it's such a good example of how sweet the girls are, so innocent, not thinking anything about, we're offering these panda earmuffs to this world acharya. And and Gurudev, you know, he's unbelievably sweet and merciful and had so much affection for those girls. He put them on, remember? And then he went on his scooter and actually rode all around the mat proudly, so happy in these panda earmuffs, right? And the devotees are just dying with happiness seeing him there glowing with these panda earmuffs on. So many little things like that. He didn't actually need to do anything to make us happy, and we're all like, you know, look at his ear, the corner of his ear, and there's nothing more satisfying. And how much beauty is just in his ear. You think, and if I hadn't seen it myself or felt that, it would be impossible to hear someone say that and understand what that actually means something, that's infinite beauty in this alive little portion of an ear, what to speak of the rest of his body. When he would speak, when he would sing, it was like honey going into our hearts. And the most exquisite jewel that could ever exist, and we actually got to sit there with him. But serving him, I don't know. Sometimes I used to think, because he'd sit there, and like a lighthouse, all the devotees would be sitting around, and he's just looking around. As he'd look at them, his glance, they would just light up. He would just illuminate them. He'd look around, and I would feel like if the whole world melted right now, no loss. I wouldn't miss a single thing. There's nothing more to be had than right here in this moment and this feeling and being with him. And sometimes I'd sit there just thinking, that's so helplessly, like useless actually, and wishing that I could be like, I was imagining we're like a little garden of his flowers, and it would be really nice one day to be like a flower in his garden that he could actually look at and go, oh, that's nice. I don't know if you want to say
Thank
more.
Thank you so much. Any memories from you?
Well, it's the same thing, really. Madhusudan Maharaj was the primary engager of many devotees coming from the West. He was the secretary, but he was infinitely more than any title that you wanted to give to him. And he always so affectionately engaging us in so many services and kept us safe, mm-hmm. and giving some guidance and some little responsibility, and we're doing our best to try and, do the right thing, help make him, be somehow useful. He liked people who were useful. He tried to be useful. But, I mean, I didn't really have a lot of personal exchanges with Srila Govinda Maharaj. It's, again, through the devotees, through Madhusudan Maharaj, particularly. Any real sort of personal engagement with Srila Govinda Maharaj was always by the hand or the grace of Srila Madhusudan Maharaj, every time. Sometimes I was stupid and somehow it all worked out. I remember once Gurudev had this buzzer in Navadvip, and the buzzer was when he wanted his servant, his coca, to come and do something. But the buzzer was like, or something like that. I was like, no, I want something that goes. So that was really, like distinct. So I went and I found this buzzer, and at some point I came and Gurudev was having a darshan, and I like waltzed in and started. Like I was sort of behind the pillar trying to, so he couldn't see me, and I was just like pulling apart the light switch and trying to install this buzzer thing, and da, da, da. I was there for a while, and I got it done and finished, and later on Madhusudan Maharaj comes up to me and goes, geez, you're brave. Because I was oblivious, right? I just thought, oh, I'm just doing some job, but it could have been disastrous. I could have really annoyed Srila Gurudev, but thankfully, probably because Madhusudan Maharaj was looking at me, it was probably giving me some shelter, some shield. But yeah, the buzzer worked, so that was good. I had a few little jobs like that arranged by Madhusudan Maharaj. So that's sweet. But really, in Australia, from before I even received initiation, when I first went to the temple, then Gurudev's picture is there, on the Vyasasan next to the altar. And my heart was completely captured and confident and secure, and there was no doubt in my mind. I could I could feel his presence just by offering myself to his picture there. So, and Gurudev is eternal. Gurudev is here now. Then he can receive our pranams. You know, he will if we're sincere, then he will accept us. And now that Srila Govinda Maharaj is not immediately apparent to us, then we're so fortunate. We have Srila Goswami Maharaj, Srila Abhidhut Maharaj, Srila Malasudha Maharaj, Srila Ashram Maharaj, Tribhukar Maharaj, so many senior Vaishnavas. And they have all been completely submerged in the nectar that was Srila Govinda Maharaj's wealth. All of the acharyas have been submerged in something that we've got no idea about. And if we can be a little sincere, then they will also... That's their job, is to give what Srila Govinda Maharaj had. It's their job to give that to us, if we're sincere. Sincerity, chastity. You know, Srila Govinda Maharaj was always saying sincerity, chastity. Guru Maharaj was always saying sincerity. You know, we can only deceive ourselves. So if we have some sincerity and some chastity, then... And, you know, try to make some progress. Try and do something useful. Be of some use to the Vaishnavas. That's our life's goal.
I believe devotees still want to hear from you what real kirtan is for you.
For me, kirtan. I mean, I don't know what kirtan is. I know we've been told, you know, Harinam Sankirtan, chant the Lord's names. Okay. But who can really understand what that is? When we can't vibrate the holy name with our mouth and our tongue. We're really not in the best situation to really understand what kirtan is. For me, I'm just trying to follow what, you know, we were fortunate enough to spend some time in Navadvip and see the traditional style of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, you know, which is different from any, I mean, there's many kirtan groups and things going on in the world. Okay, great. But Srila Sridhara Maharaj is a particular kind. This is the Rupanuga Dhara. This is the line of Rupa Goswami. And it's coming to Srila Sridhara Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given that to Srila Sridhara Maharaj. Clearly indicated. All of his godbrothers clearly said, yes, we are witnessing that. They are the ones who are proclaiming, we are witnessing that. And so then, this, whatever kirtan is, Srila Sridhara Maharaj knows what kirtan is. Srila Govinda Maharaj knows what kirtan is. They're telling us to follow this process of hearing and chanting, and we're doing the arti in this particular way, and these are the way we sing the songs. Okay, so then that's what we do. We're not creating our own, all these different tunes and for our own, you know, pleasure of whatever. It's you know, it's sweet, but it's also like incomprehensible and really deep. And so I'm kind of like just paddling around in the mud on the edge of the ocean of whatever is apparently kirtan, which I have no idea. But I'm, by the grace of Sri Guru, then we're trying to do something. Trying to follow what they're telling us to do, the way that it's done. You know, we play mridanga with katal, us. We're not playing harmoniums, we're not doing so many things. You know, outside of the temple, and there's so many different things that you can do, and preaching is infinite and in any sort of thing. But for me, I don't really have any experience of that. Or the only experience I have of kirtan is being in the mot, trying to do the program. Malasura Maharaj is happy if we're doing the program. Okay, do the program. And it's all, it's somehow we have to change internally. from this process. This is an external process, so we don't want to put too much emphasis on the external process and how well are you playing mridanga, or how good is the singing voice, or how good is the kirtan. Yeah, it's rocking, you know, like, okay, that's something. We can have some fun sometimes, but we don't want that to be the overriding principle of when am I going to get the next fix of that. You know, it's every time if you're standing in the arati by yourself playing the drum or playing the katal or whatever, then somehow we have to try to utilize that external experience for offering ourselves. Somehow try to extract some devotion out of that thing which is, you know, tied with a knot hard in our chest. Somehow we have to try to open that. Lots of kirtan is for me.
Thank you. By the mercy of our great acharyas, mission is expanding. So we can see ashrams all around the world. Have you had any opportunity or chance to visit our other ashrams, or which of them you had a fortune to visit?
Well, I haven't visited so many. Abhinava Sundar visited more, can tell you in a minute. A few years ago I went to Soquel, the Soquel Ashram in America, and it's funny because one of the seniors asked me when I was there, after a while, he said to me, why are you here? I'd been there for a month, and I said, well, because, and I hesitated, and he said, no, I want to know because when people come to visit, I like to know why they've come so that I can get enlivened myself, like I can appreciate what they're appreciating. And but why I had gone there was to see friends and for inspiration myself, which is the beautiful thing. Like wherever we go, it's Gurudev's home, so we're with family. And again, we're inspired and more inspired, and the happiness grows, and it's beautiful. So yeah, I went to Soquel, and it was like a feeling of having first joined the mission again. Everything fresh, because I had no history there. I knew the devotees, but not all. And I walked into the temple room, and it's unbelievably beautiful. The deities and the pujari there has been serving so many years. I mean, he feels something very, very special. And then the next amazing thing is, you know, because if you're moving around, devotees, you know, maybe they're a short time, it's hard to actually get some service connection because people also don't want to let go of their service. And so if you get some service, it's actually really special. And Ramai Prabhu, the pujari, gave me some service. And so I was making garlands, which he's very, very particular about. So that was amazing for me. And then I got to feel like, okay, I'm part of the service, and to feel a little more connected with the community and the deities. And I loved it there. The devotees are all so inspired, and they're a close community. They've grown up together for a few generations now, and really well established in their practicing lives. And they mesh. They move around like this sort of almost one unit. This service needs to be done. That one's not here. They'll call them. They come in. They pick up this. It's sort of this fluid. Very sweet. Very, very sweet. And where else? Oh, well, we recently were in China. The second time I've been in China, to the Chongqing ashram. And the Sita, she's just secured an apartment for a center there, which was Yudhamanyu Prabhu. That was his desire. I mean, 13 years he was there trying to establish something, and now she's She's established this center, and that was really nice to see and feel their happiness and how much it's giving them strength to go on and have some focus in their service lives. And, you know, they'll say themselves, they feel like they don't know so much, but actually they know so much. They know just naturally in their hearts. Maybe haven't studied so much or listened to so many lectures, but because their hearts are so sweet, they actually get it on quite a deep level. And whatever time they spent with Yudhamanyu Prabhu and some devotees, it's just the seeds have just been planted in their hearts, and they're quite bushy now. They're beautiful. Really, really beautiful. Yeah, so have I visited other...
Malaysia.
They're like the golden family in Malaysia. Jayashree, Didi and her sons, or the Pandavas there. They have Jagannath deities. So the family already were... well, they work, but other than that, they're serving 24/7. And one day, accidentally...
Anyway, it's a long story.
Accidentally, Jagannath deities were announced to be arriving at their house the next day. And the whole family just dropped any remnants of their own personal idea about their lives or what they were doing, and they just made way for the deities to come into their life and take over. So they started... What did they already have?
Coincidentally, they were just refurbishing their altar because they were thinking, their little Nimanitai deities, we'll make it bigger so when we put our plates down, then, you know, there'll be just more space for the, you know, off the offering plates. So they made this whole big altar thing, and then, of course, the Jagannath deities fit perfectly on this new... I mean, they're big deities, and they fit on this, you know, 2-3 meter wide altar. Perfect fit. And where they are, where they were, they've moved their house now, but where they arrived, Srila Govinda Maharaj had sat there, you know, looking out into the garden and beyond, saying, oh, the deities are coming, you know, in that exact spot. He'd said that. Mm. Here they were, making their own arrangements through the devotees.
Mm. Yeah, and then, okay, so you talk about expansion. There, it's naturally by their own sacrifice and desire to serve and always improve the service that they're offering to the deities. It's expanding there, and they started maybe 3 or 4 years ago Rath Yatra festival, and that's growing every year. And now they have new sannyasi. I've forgotten his name. So he's now living in the center, and they're going out preaching more often, collecting, holding more programs. Other sannyasis are coming more regularly, visiting. So you see that service just naturally grows by the dedication of the servitors and their desire to please Sri Gurudev and the Lord. And I think it's going on in some countries more visibly than others. Like here, it's in Russia, we see, like looking from Australia, like these, on this tiny little boat, looking at these great preaching activities that are going on. But I think it's going on everywhere, and it goes in waves. But you can say more about visiting.
Well, I was just thinking about Soquel, because if for some reason Junaid Maharaj happens to see this, I didn't mention his name before when I was talking about all of the acharas, and I do want to particularly say something about Janata Maharaj and Kirtan, getting back to Kirtan, because some of the sweetest moments I've had have been, and whether he knows or not, I think he must remember. But anyway, was with Srila Janata Maharaj. Both in Navadvip, there was a period, and I can't remember when it was. It might have been just before Srila Gurudev left, or might have been just after. But Srila Janata Maharaj was singing kirtan in the Nat Mandir in Navadvip quite a bit, and I was playing mridanga. And for me, that's my favorite thing, is if I can play mridanga, and if someone else is leading, and I can play mridanga and like help them to like have a good, do a good kirtan, you know, like that's happy. That's happiness for me. I don't like leading kirtan really. Actually, I mean, I can sing. Okay, I have some musical, you know, bloodline, but you know, it's not a qualification that you can sing and that you can play a drum and you know. But anyway, I do like to play drums, and I liked when Janata Maharaj was leading kirtan. And also when I was I went to visit Soquel. I went with Tripa Tyagi Maharaj on a tour around the west coast of America and in Europe. And so I stayed at Soquel. That was kind of like the base for America. So we'd go off and come back and go off and come back. And it was just such an amazing experience, because as Peli Kadam was saying, that the devotional community there is sweet, wonderful. And Srila Janata Maharaj is just so incredible. So affectionate, and you know, if you can somehow get into, so he's happy that you're around, he doesn't like, you know, he's happy you're around, then he just has so much affection. And also, what we did a little namahat at someone's house, and the kirtan there, I was just looking at him and he was looking at me, and that was probably the happiest I've ever been chanting Hare Krishna, was with Srila Janata Maharaj leading and me just happily trying to support him and be in his presence, and really so sweet. But yeah, the Soquel Ashram, Hasyapriya Prabhu was great. They were pulling off Janata Maharaj's veranda, completely demolishing it and building a new one. So I was there to kind of like help, try and be useful. That was good. That's where the gold is, being helpful, useful in some way with the devotees. But we visited many places. We went to Tijuana, and the devotees down there, it's very sweet. And that was the summer camp was happening, but they had that at some resort that they hired, and Ashram Maharaj was out there, you know, playing soccer and annihilating everyone, because you know he's our most esteemed acharya, but everyone is pretty much scared of Ashram Maharaj. When you get him on the field with the football, watch out. So we were there. We went to Salt Lake City in Utah, and Sri Lanka Deity Nyasi Maharaj there. Mahaprabhu Deity there is gloriously beautiful. Yeah. And London, the original London Temple and now the West London Temple, both going on very nicely. I was amazingly surprised at the original London Temple. It was tiny, the tiniest place. Because you see, I've seen pictures of Srila Gurudev sort of like sitting at the window, and it's like, oh yeah, that looks nice. He's looking out the window. But you go there and it's like, you're here, the window's there, that chair that Gurudev sat is right there. You're like, it's maybe as big as this black piece of carpet. Maybe, not even, the temple room. And the West London Temple is very spacious. Now, I think they had their anniversary just recently, right? Or second? Second? I don't know. What was it? Yeah. And then we went to Italy, Villa Govinda, Munindra Mohan Krishna Kantadidi. I mean, you know, it's embarrassing because I'm traveling around with Tyagi Maharaj. Okay, he's useful, you know, and I'm trying to be useful something in some places. But mostly you're just visiting all of these places where all these devotees, they're like solid devotees, many years, so much association with Srila Gurudev. You're just like this blob kind of like hanging around. But anyway, the devotees are merciful. And this is another thing about Srila Govinda Maharaj's sweetness, is that every devotee has received something, whether they beyond their own control to try and take something. Srila Govinda Maharaj is forcibly expressing himself into our hearts, and the devotees cannot help but express something of that when you're in their association. Which is so fortunate for us, because no matter how hopeless we are, then the devotees always, they have this beauty and sweetness within them that they're happily giving to you. And you see that when sometimes you see new people come, you know, and they're like, they can't believe how much affection they're getting from people. And it's such a rare thing. Like, I think we become complacent with that when we're associating with each other all the time. How wonderful it is, how beautiful it is to have the association of our God brothers and God sisters. It's everything, you know. We have to try to always, every moment, every day, really, I know for me, I need to take advantage of the association of the devotees. And our acharyas, you know, they're really, we're always thinking, Srila Govinda Maharaj, yeah, it's, you know, Gurudev, da-da, we're just lost in his amazing, you know, personality. But when he finished his leela, then he's leaving. The acharyas also, I'm sorry to say, they're not going to be here forever. And you're all having their association so intimately. Like, this is intimate. Where you are right now, this is intimate. You really need to, like, understand and appreciate how rare and fantastic and otherworldly that is. It's not something to be taken lightly. If you can have any association with any of our acharyas, then it's a rare thing and worth more than anything in the world. And every temple, whatever temple you go to around the world, then there's some little beacon of that expressing into the environment freely for anyone who stumbles across it, you know, who has some sweetheartedness enough or Sukriti, whatever, to somehow come into the flow of the devotees' lives. And it's amazing.
We were reading that shloka this morning, that Param Guru Maharaj, the verse that he composed about Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mat. And, you know, he's saying, because Gurudev used to always like to say, like the expression, the sun never sets on Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mat. You know, and this is like his glories and the glories of Param Guru Maharaj, they're spreading them across the world, and the devotees are singing those glories, and then you see more and more temples manifesting and their mission growing and growing and growing. And thinking this morning, we were reading that verse, and 1941, Param Guru Maharaj, he hasn't even established the mot itself in its full grandeur yet, and there he hoists this gigantic, bold bamboo pole proclaiming the glories of Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mat. And here we are, like we're actually living in their ocean of mercy that just keeps on inundating the world. It's a miracle. Mm.
And probably the last question. Abhinava Prabhu partly answered that question already. From the perspective of your experience, talking about expanding family of Srila Gurudev, there are a lot of newcomers, neophytes joining the mission. What would be your advice from the position of the experienced practitioners, devotees, and from even perspective of the Grihastha Ashram beholders? So whatever you can advise.
The thing is, we have all the advice from Gurudev. Like, it's all laid out. And fortunately, we have seniors, we have our acharyas, like, it's very well mapped out. But one day I had a very dear friend of mine come to visit while I was in India. And she came in to meet Srila Gurudev to his veranda in Calcutta. And, you know, of course, this is rare, she's coming, I'm wondering, like, is she going to get it? What's going to happen? And she came in, and we paid our obeisances, and Gurudev was facing the opposite direction. He just spun around in his chair. It was a swivel chair. He was like, hi! Like, he was greeting an old friend. And she said, hi, how are you? And he was like, good. And I thought, okay, it's happening, here we go. And had a little bit of a chat, and then we left. And then the next day in the darshan, Gurudev was about to, he was sort of speaking something, but hadn't really started. And I was sitting there and praying so hard, like, Gurudev, please, 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 give her your mercy, like, let her see, let her actually get this. And praying, praying, praying. And then Gurudev started speaking, and I've told this many times because I love this story, he went back and covered, like, sort of almost from the beginning of creation, and here are all the Vedas, and here's what our acharyas have said, and this is our practicing line, and this is, you know, just went on and on, just mapped out everything, you know, like nothing was left. And then he got to the end, although I'm confusing the story a little bit, and he, actually I've confused two stories, but the gist of it was, got to the end and I'm thinking, all right, she's going to get this. And I turned around and nothing. She missed it somehow. Or it hadn't sprouted for her yet. And later, but the story that I confuse that with is Gurudev, one day we came in and he was sitting and he said, I've been thinking for a long time how to tell you all something, but I'm not sure how to say it. And he was quite serious. And then he began speaking. That's actually when he gave this whole big, long, incredible explanation of everything. And then he said, so we're sitting there and sort of almost like, what more can be said now? And then he said, but above all this, and he's really wanting us to get into, like, above all this, is the love and affection, the affectionate dealings between the devotees. This is the most important thing. You know, so he didn't leave anything out, like, oh, but actually, but chanting is this or the service. No, he really said affectionate dealings between the devotees. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to feel like, no, we have this condition, like, we're the doers, we're trying, we're attempting, and we are trying our best to offer ourselves and be sincere. But it's hard not to then get lost and feel like it's by our efforts that something will make some progress. And actually, it's grace. We understand that only by the Lord's grace, Guru's grace, will we actually, and the mercy of the devotees and their affection, will we actually develop any feeling of love of God in our hearts, not by our own effort. And so, okay, for for all of us, not just new devotees, we have very clear practicing guidelines and processes to follow. And sincerely, we want to apply ourselves. But then the beauty of it is, like we're told, like, fortunately, Krishna is a thief. He's going to actually steal our hearts. So if we actually, our Gurudev used to say, sincerity and chastity, you know, just stay close, stay near, tolerate the speed, and try to stay close and in affectionate association with the devotees, and then we're okay. Because by the heart of the Vaishnava, that's actually how we are going to receive something, not by our own efforts or by reading so many things or doing this or doing this at this time, wearing, it's none of that, actually by our appreciation and our affection and somehow our ability to put ourselves at the feet of the Vaishnavas, that their grace comes to us. And then everything comes. It's actually automatic. You can't actually help it, luckily. And it's so sweet, like Param Guru Maharaj said, you know, why worry about the process? Why worry about the result when the process is so sweet? Luckily for us. So yeah, it's incredibly daunting. Like they say, if we knew how far we had to go, we would give up. But by the affection of the devotees, of the Vaishnavas, they will actually take us. Like there's a poem that Srila Gurudev composed when he was like
young,
20 something, so new in the mission. And Tyagi Maharaj discovered this a few years ago. We were waiting for the morning class on the Samadhi Mandir, Param Guru Maharaj, and Tyagi Maharaj in his style comes bounding down, like unable to contain his happiness. And he sits down, he's just found this poem and he's translated it. And it's that Das Anudas Ami Das Nahi Anya, something like that. I'm a servant of my guru and nothing else. And in it, Gurudev's saying, you know, like as a young man, he's proclaiming that he will just empty the three worlds of all souls and he will take them in his boat across the ocean of nescience and he will personally deliver them to Goloka Vrindavan, like, incredible. And
I'm a servant of my guru and nothing else.
Yes, and I would do this by the power of my guru and I'm a servant of my guru and nothing else. Right, so he had so much conviction in his guru that he was saying, I will do this. But why I'm saying that is because Gurudev himself said, and he said a few times, I don't know why any of you were worried, I'm taking you all with me. Why are you worried? I'm taking you all with me. And as a young man, he said, I will empty the three worlds of all jiva souls and I will take them personally. So like, it's this funny, we're trying to offer ourselves and feeling like it's impossible and we're never going to get there, we're never going to make any progress. But then from their side, they're actually pulling us by their causeless mercy, and for that, where we can't even fathom our fortune. So yeah, we don't have to worry so much.
Anyway, I mean, new devotees, we believe in reincarnation, right? So who's not to say that this young boy that's over here wasn't a Srila Siddhamarsh disciple? What can we know about who is who, you know? In many places it says you don't know who is the Vaishnava. We'll be told to be very careful everywhere in the holy dharma and associated with devotees, because you don't know who is who is Vaishnava? Okay, so someone's been taking prasadam for 40 years, whatever, doesn't necessarily mean that they've made significant advancement, but some child may just be crawling along and they're a pure devotee. Who knows the difference? So then we have to be careful, but also we have to understand that we're all on this evolutionary path for eternity, and it's only through that association that we're going to really develop ourselves, trying to have the six loving exchanges between the devotees. Forget about Krishna, it's the devotees. You know, that's our highest ideal, that we're worshipping Srimati Radharani because she is the highest devotee. We care for Krishna because, you know, Srila Srila Maharaj is explaining like that. We care for Krishna because of her. And then, from her, everything is coming, all the servants are coming, all the service opportunity is coming. So then we want to associate with the devotees and engage together, take shelter of some senior Vaishnava. Great, perfect, better someone else is in a position of responsibility, I can just be a servant. It's a much better position. It's natural, you know, Guru Maharaj explains, it's naturally healthy for the soul to be in that position. So we have the perfect opportunity. This is the way that Krishna is distributing himself. Joy. We're all in this together, no matter when we come into this, it doesn't matter, we're in this together.
Because also Gurudev used that analogy of the stack of leaves. You know, saying you pass a needle through the stack of leaves, no time, like it's minuscule second between one devotee's progress and another, it's all...
Okay, I think we're out of time.
Thank you so much.
Jai Shri Prabhu Maharaj ki jai.
Jai.
Abhinava Sundar Prabhu ki jai.
Jai.
Kele Kadamba Nanandiri ki jai. Hari Harai, will you sing for us? You need book?
No, I don't think so.
Nope.
Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan.
Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan.
Giridhari Gopinath Madana. Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra.
Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra.
Gadadhara Siva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Gadadhara Siva Sari Gaura Bhakta
Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raguna.
Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raguna.
Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raguna.
Krishna Nitya Lila Korila Prakash.
Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korila Prakash.
Anak De Bolo Hari Gaja Vrindavan.
Anak De Bolo Hari Gaja Vrindavan.
Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman.
Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman.
Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Padma Koriya. Sankirtan Kohe Narottamanda.
Hari Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottamanda.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahum Sapri Radhikacharya Vaya, Asata Sapta Shishima Chila Bhakti Sunda Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki. Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahum Sapri Radhikacharya Vaya, Asata Sapta Shishima Chila Bhakti Rakak Siddhya Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki. Jayam Vishnupad, Bhagavan Chila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Sri Rupanu Guru Vaga Ki. Jayam Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki. Jayam Sri Chaitanya Sarasat Bhat Acharya Vrinda Ki. Jayam Anandakori Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Jayam Shri Bhakti Siddhi Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, Shri Bhakti Vimal Avadhut Maharaj Ki Jai, Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai, Jai, Saparasad Sri Nityananda Prabhu Ki Jai, Saparasad Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai, Ganga Jamunaji Ki Jai, Grantaraj Sriman Bhagavatam Sri Titanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Sri Titanya Sarasad Mat Ki Jai, Sri Navadip Dham Ki Jai, Sri Titanya Sarasad Mat Cheng Mai Ki Jai. All the assembled devotees Ki Jai. All the world devotees Ki Jai. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande. Hari Om.